Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team. As always, amazing. I don't know about y'all, but I just feel the Holy Spirit here. Do you feel it? I'm excited. I came in. You can just feel the energy and like Holy Spirit energy. I'm already sweating, so that's good. I tell them if I don't sweat when I preach, then you're not getting your money's worth. So it's already happening, so that's a good sign, all right? But we're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. This is the best place you can be. Here's what I believe. God is at work right here at UBC. Amen? Did we not just witness that? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. It's getting harder to find parking spots when I pull up. That's a good thing. Amen for that. Amen. That's a good thing. God's at work. So I'm excited. If you have your copy of God's Word, please take it out and turn to Luke 13. We're in some parables. Hey, real quick, let me just tell you where we're going this semester, all right, up until about Christmas in the preaching ministry, all right? What we're going to do is we're going to do one more week of parables. Then we got the Lord's Supper. We're going to do a Lord's Supper message. Then we're going to have a little sermon series in between that and Labor Day. After Labor Day, we're going to start, we're going to preach through the book of Joel, okay? Yes, and so if you want to go prepare for that, start studying it, pray about it. It's only three chapters. We're going to stretch out three chapters into 6 weeks, all right? So we're going to take our time. We really want to tie it in to prayer meeting and things like that and spiritual disciplines. We're going to pray for just the continued work of God. And Joel does that. So we're going to walk through Joel, then we're going to have another sermon series, and then we're going to go through the book of Haggai. So a lot of Old Testament prophets, okay? Haggai will be next, and then we'll walk into Christmas, okay? I'll keep you posted on that. I just want you to know so you can be prayed up, you can be prepared, and you can do some study if you want to, all right? Luke 13. Let me tell you this. We've been in some parables. I love parables. This parable today, it's a parable of the barren fig tree. Super simple and easy, okay? Hopefully we'll make it out pretty quick, okay? If I don't talk too long. I do want to tell you this story, though. There was this lady named Charlotte. Charlotte had a rental home. And Charlotte was kind of known for taking care of animals. And so people would drop off animals they couldn't take care of at her house. I don't know if that's legal or not, but that's what she did. And bless her heart, I'm an animal lover, so I'm like, that's great. And so, but people couldn't take care of their animals, and so they would leave them. So dogs and cats and some of those things, they would leave at her house, and she would take care of them. Kind of got known for it. Well, one day, someone left a cage of rats at her house. I know. Like, we're already starting off. You're like, I'm visiting today, and we are getting this illustration. All right, but it's okay. Hold on. Hang with me, all right? They left a cage of rats. Pretty soon, the neighbors started to smell something coming from the house and started to see rats running around their house. So they called the authorities. DHS comes in, animal control comes in. You know what they find? They took away 1,500 rats from her house. And they estimated there was 1,000 more that they couldn't get. I mean, that's dangerous. They carry diseases. They're nasty. They're gross. They said at this pace, this is what the authorities said, at this pace, that many rats, if they keep breeding, you're gonna have 1,500 rats every, 3 weeks. They said you have to take away 100 rats a week out of the house just to keep up. I know, this is encouraging. You're like, what does this have to do with the sermon? All right, here's what it is. Let me ask you this. What's growing in your life? Now, in their home, they didn't want those rats to grow. That was bad growth, right? She did not want that, I'm sure. It just got out of hand. Someone dropped it off. She's out of the goodness of her heart. She's trying to take care of animals. This happens. All of a sudden now, she's overrun with growth that she doesn't want, things that she doesn't want. And I wonder if that happens sometimes in our life. So here's a question from the beginning. Hopefully, if I remember, I'll ask it again at the end. But I want to ask you this. What's growing in your life right now? I'm not talking about physically, obviously. You're like, Paul, I go to the gym, my muscles. All right, good for you. All right, good for you. I'm talking spiritually. What's growing in your life? Is there growth in your life? Is there spiritual growth? Now, I understand already. This sermon is for me if it's for anybody. But for me, my personal spiritual growth life is like a roller coaster. It's not like stairs. Some of you may be stairs. You're like, I grew, praise the Lord. For me, it's I'll grow and then down and up and down and up and down. That's my story. That's my story. And so I don't know if that's you, but for me, I'm on this roller coaster. But I want you to look at your life and say, what's being produced in your life right now? What fruit, what growth is happening in your life right now? Because Jesus is actually going to address that in Luke 13. So Luke 13, Jesus is speaking to crowds. He's in his ministry of teaching. And so here's what he said. Let's just walk through it. Luke chapter 13, starting verse 6. We just got a few verses. Honestly, it's a very simple message today. Amen. That's for me. Okay. Simple is good. All right. So it's a very simple message, but I think one that I needed to hear myself. So I'm preaching to me. I tell y'all, I preach to me. Y'all just happen to be here. Okay. Let's walk through it. Parable of the barren fig tree. Here's what Jesus says. And he told this parable. Remember, a parable, earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay. He tells this parable. A man had a fig tree that was planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So what do we see? Jesus is setting the scene. There's a man, a owner of this vineyard, and a fig tree. The fig trees are not uncommon. They grew to about 15 feet. They produce fruit twice a year. Some of you may have that in your yards. We had one growing up in Houston, so you may have that, but it produces fruit. This is mentioned, like a fig tree is mentioned 60 times. Like, it's not unnatural. So Jesus is coming using an illustration that his crowd would understand and know. And so this is not uncommon. So what is he doing? He's planting a fig. What's the point of planting this tree? What's the point? To get fruit. A harvest, right? Isn't that why we plant anything? All right? So that's it. That's the basic. He's planting. He wants to see fruit. So he came looking for fruit, but what? He found none. And he told the vineyard worker, listen, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Now, you can get into some numerology and all this. Okay, listen, please don't get bogged down. You're like, 3 years, is that Jesus' ministry? 3 years, three is this and that. Yeah, three is a number in the Bible, but don't get bogged down. It's just Jesus, he's saying there's time for growth. Okay? 3 years is enough time. If it's a young tree, he's giving it time to produce. Okay? So listen, for 3 years I came looking for fruit on the fig tree and have not found any. What does he say? Cut it down. Why should it even waste the soil? Now that's harsh words. Why? He plants a tree. The point of planting the tree is to see fruit and growth. And he didn't see any. He says, it's a waste of soil. I did a little word study on that word waste. And it comes from the Greek word lazy and idle. Isn't that interesting? It's not producing fruit because it's lazy and idle. But, verse 8, but he replied to him, sir, leave it this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. What's he doing? Now he's making, listen, he's doing all that he can to see growth. He's giving this fig tree everything that it needs to produce fruit. He's like, I'm gonna give it time. I'm going to give it some water. I'm going to give it some fertilizer. I want to see growth. So we're going to give it some time. Perhaps it will produce fruit next year, but if not, what? You can cut it down. Now, we don't know what happens. Did he cut the tree down? I don't know. Jesus doesn't tell us. I love it. He kind of leaves it open. It's kind of assumed that he will, but we don't know. Why would it be cut down? There's two reasons. One, it's a waste of soil, and two, it's not producing fruit. That's why he would cut it down. So obviously, what Jesus is trying to tell us is something about growth, right? So let's interpret it. Who is the vineyard owner? Who's the vineyard worker? Now, some people say the vineyard owner is God, and the vineyard worker is Jesus. And that can't be, because they're kind of at odds a little bit there. Like, the Jesus the Son will never go against the Father. So what is it? Here's what some people much smarter than me said, and I agree with it, because they're smarter than me. So they said the vineyard owner is God and his mercy. The vineyard worker is God and his justice. So what we're doing is we're getting characteristics of who God is. God gives us mercy. We talked about that a lot last week, grace and mercy. But he also has justice. What he's saying is, listen, this is what we talked about a few weeks ago too. There's a time limit. There's a time limit to produce growth, to produce fruit. And so he's given everything that they need. So God is just. Now, who's the barren fig? Now, the vineyard, who's the vineyard? People say usually the vineyard in the Old Testament is Israel. It could be. I'm not sure. I mean, whatever, however you want to interpret it. But who is the barren fig tree? The barren fig tree, they think, could be the religious leaders. Jesus has a huge audience, and it's the religious leaders. They knew the Bible. They knew the Old Testament. They knew all the things, and yet they weren't faithfully following God because they missed Jesus, who was standing right in front of them, who fulfills all the Old Testament, all the prophecies right in front of them. But I think, too, the barren fig tree could be us as believers. So what's the main idea? Here's the main idea. One of God's purposes in your life is that you grow to become more like him. Super simple, right? I'm pretty sure we all know that, right? That's what Jesus is reminding us. One of God's purposes in your life is that you grow to become more like him. That's what he wants. Jesus, like, we're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. We have many purposes, but one of those purposes is for us to grow to become more like him. Jesus Christ came, stepped out of heaven, put on human flesh, died in our place, rose again. Why? So that we can have a relationship with him. But it doesn't just stop there. He wants us to have a relationship with him. That's number one. That's salvation. But there's also sanctification, that after we're saved, what happens next? Sanctification, that's a big word for just walking with Jesus. And there should be growth in our life. Like, we should look back and say, from the beginning of when we first were saved up until now, we should be different. There should be growth in our life. I should be producing Christian fruit. Why? Because the more we're like Jesus, the more we become followers of God faithfully, the more we look like him. We start acting like him. We start thinking like Jesus. We act like Jesus. We speak like Jesus. And we produce Christian fruit. So what does that mean? Let's apply it. Three quick things. All right, number one is this. God has given you everything you need to grow. God has given you everything you need to grow. What is that? Real quick, one, Holy Spirit. As believers, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you have a relationship with him. Ephesians 1 and other passages. Ephesians 1 says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit as believers. That means that Holy Spirit, big word, indwells you, lives inside of you. That's why God can say, I will never leave you, what? Or forsake you. Why? He's with us. He can't leave us. So God has given you the Holy Spirit. In John 14 and 16, we hear about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He guides us into all truth. He gives us wisdom. God is literally inside of you, giving you wisdom. So when you pray and you ask him, what do I need to do? How do I react to this? Where do I go? What job do I take? Who do I marry? Where do I live? What car do I buy? Every little thing. Listen, God is right there. He's guiding you. He's given you everything you need. Plus, he's given us his word. God's word is a revelation of himself to us. Okay, just so you know, the Bible is not about you. You're in there. I mean, he talks about us. Jesus prays for us. It's not about you. The Bible is about Jesus Christ, about God. That's it. The Bible is God saying, you want to know me? I'm not going to hide it. Like, here's it. He doesn't hide anything. He's not back there. There's no secret knowledge. That's why you can discern cults and all those kind of things. Secret knowledges, and you got these secret things. There's nothing secret in Christianity. It's all right here. Everything we need. We all have access to it, equal access to Scripture. And he's given it to us. I believe it's perfect. I believe it's inerrant. I believe it has no errors, mistakes in it. God gave us a perfect revelation of who he is because he is perfect. And so he's given us everything. This is God pulling back the curtain and saying, this is who I am. So if you want to know God, you go to the word of God. He tells you right here. Then, not only that, that's enough, right? But he gives us community. He gives us church. Isn't that awesome too? That you get to come. And I'm thankful for the country we live in, by the freedoms we have from men and women who've paid the ultimate price for us, that we can come freely into this room every single Sunday. Those who've paid the price, those who are fighting right now and watch, like and fighting for our freedoms right now, because we can come here freely. Like, we gather. Like, do you realize that there's people all across the world that are secretly meeting because they will get killed or we get thrown in jail if they meet publicly? Just doing what we're doing right here. And we can come freely. I'm about to go off on a tangent, but I better not. Okay. Sorry, all right, here's what we know. We get to come and worship together. You get to, I get to. We have this freedom. That's what gives us growth. So we have the Holy Spirit, God inside of us. We have his perfect word right here that we can read, we can study. It helps us grow. And then you have other believers. You have Christians, you have a church family. That they can, we hold each other accountable. We meet in connect groups. We talk, we share. We share the word. What does it mean? How do we apply it? How do we share it? And we grow together. I was reading this week in my Charles Spurgeon study Bible. If you're looking for a study Bible, I don't get any royalties for this, but if you're looking for a study Bible, Charles Spurgeon study Bible is fantastic. And so I read through it as well. So I was reading Psalm 119, and I read my Spurgeon study Bible with it, and he shared this story. And he said, a famous unbeliever, you know, he's in England, of a previous generation, so that had to be like early 1800s. But this guy was traveling in Wales, and he's on a train, and he sees a girl reading her Bible. And so he walks up to her, and he says, "Well, I see you've got your task in front of you." And she says, "What do you mean?" "It's the Bible." And he goes, "Yeah, didn't your mom give you some chapters to read?" She goes, "What? My mom doesn't punish me by reading the Bible." She goes, "Reading the Bible is one of the greatest delights of my life. It's a joy. I look forward to the time I get to be alone and spend time in his word." And that man kind of was shocked. He'd never seen like pure Christianity religion like that, just from a young girl. And so it makes me think, and it convicts me, is, am I spending enough time in the Word? Am I spending enough time with the Holy Spirit? Praying, talking. Am I spending enough time around believers in community, in church? Because that is how we can grow. God has given us, listen, there's no excuse. We don't get to heaven and we're like, "Well, I didn't grow." And God's like, "Oh yeah, I forgot to give you this, sorry. That's on me." No. God doesn't make mistakes. He's perfect and pure and holy. He's given us everything we need. So there is no excuse. We can grow. We can be like him. We can produce fruit. He's given us everything. Second thing is this. You want to see growth? You'll have to put in time to grow. You'll have to put in time to grow. Like there is a short amount of time. Like he gives them, there's 3 years, then there's 1 year. There's going to be a cutoff. We're not going to have any personal growth once we get to heaven. Why? We're going to know everything. So there's not going to be any spiritual maturity in heaven. We're going to be there. We're going to know. We're going to be around Jesus. He's perfect. Everything's going to be revealed right then. We're going to know stuff. I'm pumped about that. But for right now, we don't know all that. We're growing. So we've got this time. So here's one of the things we need to do is live with urgency. Live with urgency. Like, let's make the most of this time. Like, Jesus, obviously, from the parable, he obviously desires for us to grow to be more like him. That's what he wants to see. He wants to see Christian fruit come for our life. Let's give him that. Like, that should be urgent. Like, that should be on our hearts and minds. Is it? It's going to take time. Now, time is a valuable commodity, especially in our culture today, isn't it? We say, "I don't have the time." But is that just an excuse? You know what I think it is, y'all? And this is on me, too, is distractions. We have so many distractions in our world, in our culture, don't we? Y'all have a lot of distractions in your life? You know what? This is for free, okay? This is for free. If you really want some distractions, you know what you can do? Turn off notifications on your phone. I turned off notifications for like Facebook. I don't get them on my phone anymore. Life changing. Why? It's not that I was obsessed with it. It was just, it was always notifying us. There's been studies. You go and read studies of our students and how many notifications. They'll take their phones for like a day, and they're just overwhelmed with notifications. That's all of us, though. We all have notifications. We're getting emails and texts and all this, especially when you sit down to spend time with God. Listen, let me challenge you to turn it off. I think I have a little, it's not diagnosed, but I self-diagnosed. I think I have a little bit of adult ADD. And so, like, even the other day, I sat down. I'm like, I'm going to read my Bible. I've got all this stuff. And then I'm like, well, I need to make these sermon clips. And so I'm going to make this sermon clip, and I'm going to do this. Then I got distracted in doing that. And then it was like 10:30, and I was like, I haven't even opened my Bible yet. Hadn't done my Experiencing God study. And I'm like, I was behind. Why? I've been distracted from what was the most important. So what distractions are? Turn the TV off. Turn your notifications off. And for me, this is always the conviction, is wake up earlier. I told y'all that. God's always like, you need to spend more time with me. I'm like, God, I got stuff going on. He's like, wake up earlier. I'm like, whew. Is there any other way? You know what I mean? Like, but that's the truth. That's the truth. I was in the airport yesterday. I got the honor of speaking at one of the SBTC conferences for students called the ministry. It's called Follow the Call. So I flew up and back, and to get flights cheaper, I had to leave like way early and come back late. So I was in the airport a long time. And if you're in the airport, like I knew, so I had already studied. I was getting ready for this morning, and I was going to review that, but that was later. But before that, I was like, I'm going to prepare and make sure I study for the talk I was about to give to the students. And so I was looking over. But when you're in an airport, there's a lot of distractions. You got people everywhere walking back. You got people, just everything's going on. Just people are like, you know, a new calf at a gate. Like, it's just, they don't know what's going on in the airport, and that's fun to watch. They don't know, and so, like, you're watching them, and then you got people coming on over the thing. They're like, hey, like, I'm sitting there trying to study. I have my headphones in, but it's like, if you're going to Cabo, make sure you're gate 48, you're this, and so now I'm dealing with jealousy and envy, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, Cabo, that sounds really good. How can I get on there, you know what I mean? Like, now I'm jealous, now I'm envious, so I'm dealing with all that. Then you got people walking around, y'all, I know, you're going to get mad at me for saying this, but I'm going to say it because it needs to be said in church. It's people walking around like on FaceTime without any headphones. What's up with that? They're just walking around having conversations, and it's super awkward. Some of them are like normal. Some of them are having like defining the relationships, you know, like they're fighting on this thing, like in front of everybody. Then you got the people walking around like, yeah, then the rash went away after a week. I'm like, that is weird. Don't talk about that stuff in just open FaceTime with no headphones. Come on. Amen. Thank you. I got some amens from that. Thank you. Another one. It needs to be said. We're in church, okay? So all these distractions, and so I'm trying to lock in. I'm trying to study. I've got this talk coming. I've got all these distractions. So you're spending time in prayer, but listen, that's just a symbol of our lives. We've got all these distractions, and listen, you can be distracted with good things. A lot of the things I'm distracted with are ministry things. I gotta send an email. I gotta make a phone call. I gotta do this, and they're all good. They're good things. Some of the things you're distracted with are good things. They're just not the priority. Like, they're just distractions. They're good things. They're just not the right things. And so, listen. If we're gonna see growth, if we want to see growth in our life, we're gonna have to take the time. Are you spending the time? Here's the last thing, though. If you want to see growth, like, listen. If you stop growing. Last thing, if you stop growing, you can easily get back on track. If you stop growing, you can easily get back on track. In this parable, Jesus tells us there's room to grow. He gives us time. But how do we get back on track? You see, he gives us options. He doesn't cut it down yet. He doesn't cut down the tree yet. He's still giving them time. He has grace and mercy. But what do? Say growth has stopped in your life. I'm not saying it has, but if it has, maybe it's not stopped. Maybe it's just on pause, or maybe it's a little bit slower than you want. What do? One of the problems could be sin. We're not giving God the time. We're not making him a priority in our life. And we need to adjust our priorities. So what do? We repent. We repent. We ask for forgiveness. God, forgive me. I haven't been putting in the time like I should. I haven't been reading your word like I should. I haven't been in church like I should. Maybe we need to get our priorities straight. That's the issue. We need to repent and get our priorities straight. No more excuses. Get our priorities straight. So what does that mean? Maybe you need to make connect groups a priority. You need to join a connect group. Maybe you kind of just drifted off. You had things going on. Life is busy. I get it. There's things, maybe health things, all sorts of stuff, but maybe now it's time to say, you know what, I need to commit to that. I need to be here. Maybe you need to be at church. Like, you're here, praise the Lord, but, you know, maybe God's like, hey, you need to be in more. You need to talk to people. You need to get out and shake some hands. Build some relationships. Serve, whatever it may be. Maybe there's some other things. Maybe you just need to say, you know what, like someone up on the stage, you need to say, I got to get up early. Block out the distractions and say, listen, I'm going to make this time with God my priority. Right? First thing in the morning or at night when you're going to bed, whatever it may be. When you pastor in a rural town, everybody has gardens. And I don't know anything about gardening at all. I would like to. I'm not against it because I like the fruit of gardens. Because people would bring by their tomatoes and their pickles that they made and okra and I got, and man, that's good stuff right there. So I'm happy with that. But I never really got into gardening. And I thought, you know what? One time I was like, I'm going to try it. I need to. Everybody else, you know, peer pressure. Everybody's doing it. I better do it. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay. So they peer pressured me into it. So I got some tomato seeds. I'm like, everybody says tomato plants are easy to grow. I'm like, good. I need easy. And so I got a tomato seeds and I planted them. It says you need shade and all this. And so we had these, like the shade part right between these two buildings in our backyard at the parsonage. And so I planted these seeds, these tomato seeds, and I started watering them. And I babied them. I was out there watering with my hose. I was doing everything, giving them light, giving them everything they need. And guess what? Something sprouted. I mean, I was like a proud parent. You know what I'm talking about? I'm like, I'm over there like, I'm talking to, you know, I'm like, you're a good guy. You're doing good. You know what I mean? I'm giving him positive reinforcement. I'm watering. I'm doing everything that I can. Then he got real tall. He started growing. I'm like, man, do we need to put up, because they say, you know, you need to put up like something for it to grow on, all this. And I'm like, what in the world? What is all this? And so finally, though, I was like, it kept growing and growing. It was getting taller and taller, but I didn't see any fruit on it. So I Googled it. I like took a picture of it. And I'm like, what is it? Like, is there something wrong? What's going on? So I Googled it to find the answer. Here's what I found. That plant was actually a goat head weed. And it was the most babied, nourished weed ever. It was literally 4 or 5 feet tall. And I'm over there, like everybody else is cutting theirs down in their yard. I'm over there watering it and talking to it, giving it all the attention. What in the world? I was like, I got mad. You know, I'm over there, I ripped it out, you know, threw it. I'm like, get out of here. I was angry. I spent so much time growing something that didn't matter. And I wonder if I do that spiritually sometimes. Is it there's the wrong things growing in my life? Maybe not bad, just the wrong things. I got my priorities out of whack. And yeah, we can grow our careers, and that's not bad. We can grow our finances, that's not bad. Our portfolios, that's not bad. We can grow a lot of things, that's not all bad. But our first priority is growing to be like Jesus. And we need to make that the priority. That's what we need to pour our energy in. That's what we need to water. That's what we need to spend time with. Our spiritual life. And so let me go back to that original question. For me, and for us, is what's growing in your life? What is your life producing right now? Is it Christian fruit? God has given you everything you need to grow. It's all right here. It's up to us now to make our time, get rid of distractions, put our priorities in check, and see. Maybe there's some things you need to do. Maybe you need to make priority. Like maybe you saw the baptism today, and that was a testimony to you that you've never been baptized. Maybe that's something you need to do. You need to make that a priority. So in a minute, when we have our response time, you may need to come and say, I need to be baptized. We'll help you with that. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ. You're like, Paul, I'm kind of wandering aimlessly. I'm like a ship without a sail right now. I just feel like the storms of life and everything is just taking over. I don't have any guidance. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. There is no growth because you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And listen, today, friends, that can change. You can put your faith and trust in Jesus. You tell him you're sorry for your sins. You've disobeyed. That's what sin is. We all sinners, the Bible says. We deserve death and hell. But Jesus, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us because he loves us and cares for us. And we put our faith and trust in him. We're saved by grace through faith. We ask him to come into our life, be our Lord and Savior, be the boss. That's it. That changes everything. Now you begin a process of growing, to be producing fruit, seeing this good change in your life as we become like him. Until one day, either we go to heaven, or what I'm praying for sooner than later, Jesus comes back. So what are you producing? Maybe you are a believer. You've done that. You've trusted him. But maybe you find yourself this barren fig tree. You're not the fruitful fig tree. You're the barren fig tree. What are you going to do? It's up to you. It's up to you today. Are you going to make some changes? Am I going to make some changes? That's what I was confronted with as I was studying this week. Am I going to make some changes? Am I going to do something different? Are we just going to study this? Am I going to say, hey, that's a good sermon? Or am I going to, I'm talking about me. Am I going to take this week and say, you know what? I'm going to make some tweaking on my schedule, make some tweaking in my priorities, my distractions, and I'm going to say, I'm going to make this a priority. I need to grow and be more like Jesus. It's up to you. Let's pray.